Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. We talked a little bit about the Bruins earlier because we were talking about DeBrusque, and I guess Sweeney, the GM, came out, was asked about Zdeno Chara and his status, and they just said status quo, whatever that means, because I think he's going to play. Right? I think he's re-signing in Boston. I've always assumed that.
He's got to be liking a 48-game season, doesn't he? It's like, I don't need a grind of an 82-er. This will be my last one. 48 games, let's get after it.
Yeah, I think it's just a handshake deal. Whatever's left over financially, you get. That's it. You know, if it's 750, if it's a million, if we got a million five, like, I think he was playing, was it 1 or 2 million last year?
I think it was two million, maybe.
Yeah, 1 year at 2 million. So if he takes 1 year at 1 million to stay, I still have a feeling that Boston's sniffing around, maybe even on a guy like Hoffman on a 1 year deal, try and squeeze him in somewhere.
Wouldn't surprise me. Why wouldn't you? If you have some money right now, I don't know why teams aren't pouncing. Now, maybe the player doesn't want to accept it. Like, maybe there's a chance Hoffman and others are still sitting there saying, I made up my mind on what I need to be paid, and I'm not going to change my mind on that. And, okay, you know, it's your business. It's your life. You can do what you want. But I think this screams kind of stealth mode from a team kind of swooping in last minute saying, listen, I'll give you this on a one-year deal. Take it or leave it, and maybe you get them. Yeah. You know, maybe you get Hoffman. Maybe you get whoever else is out there. There's a couple of guys. Granlund, I believe.
Well, Duclair, Athanasiou, Haula. Like, there's some good players out there. It's just, I was looking through the list today. Like,
I want to know what kind of offer was out there for Duclair. Like, I'm sure that Ottawa made him some kind of reasonable offer, and he wanted to go sniffing after something else. And now the poor guy's sitting with nothing. I want to know what was out there for him.
Well, Pierre Dorion said, we offered him a healthy raise. That's all he said. That's on what he's on record.
Right. Yeah. Which, again, no one knows what that means, what the term was, who knows, but covered their bases, and now I'm sure they've moved on from him. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What are you thinking here, Ray? We were talking about Char in Boston. Is it, in your opinion, just kind of a handshake deal, Joe Thornton deal? We'll see where the chips settle, and a day before camp, we'll sign you, and you come in, and you play one more year with the Bruins.
I can't imagine it's anything different than that. I mean, they're, you know, it seems obvious, kind of, that they're hunting another forward, and maybe when they get that forward signed, if they do, they'll know exactly how much money they've got. And I mean, if Char is playing, it's not because he needs to put seven more nickels in the bank.
Right.
It's because he, you know, he wants to play and wants to win another cup. And, you know, and the money's, you know, God bless him, the money's irrelevant, really.
Right.
Yeah. I think, like, Joe Thornton is an example of that. Thornton getting paid $700,000. He's getting the league minimum. He doesn't care about money. You know, they've made a fortune. And it'll be interesting to see if those two guys, who is going to kind of look and feel more like themselves and have more of an impact. Char will play more minutes in bigger situations, killing penalties. But they're both, I believe, the two oldest guys in the NHL, right, with Patrick Marleau.
Well, yeah, but I, you know, you say like Char will play more minutes and all that. He doesn't have to do as much as Thornton will to be considered effective. Like, you can say, oh, General Joe worked really hard and he's got 14 points, and that wouldn't be enough.
Right.
But, you know, there's got to be some measure of production for Joe that the Char is not going to have. His job is going to be, I won't say it's easier, but as somebody that always had to score to have a job, I always felt it was way easier to be one of those guys that never got counted on for offense.
Right, that brought in tangibles or a style of play.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, great, he worked hard, fantastic, nothing happened, he broke two sticks, fantastic.
Yeah, took a 2 and a 10. Yeah, it's like, good for you. That's awesome. You're really into the game. I haven't scored.
Broke a pane of glass with a shot and, you know, like, just intangibles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he brought great energy. Oh, fantastic. He brought great energy. I hope it's the mascot then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. And those guys, they can make a pretty good living, just high-energy guys. They don't know exactly what they bring, but they bring something, and the coaching staff and management see some value in it, I guess.
it's been that way for a long time.
A long time, about 100 years. Speaking of money, what about Barzal? We were talking a little bit about the Islanders situation with Boychuk retiring. That's going to free up some money. They still have to officially sign a couple of other guys that we believe they have a handshake deal with, but I got to believe they're looking to sign him long-term, don't you think, guys? I mean, you could bridge him, but why not lock him in?
But wouldn't you think that he would be going to them saying, see that contract right there that Mitch Marner has? I'm similar comparables. I'm rookie of the year, points, whatever. Maybe it's not going to be that number, but it's going to be a comparable of some sort, wouldn't it be?
I have to think it is. And
Lou will tell him to stuff it.
Of course he will, but he's a centerman as opposed to a winger, and you know whatever they call it, positional bias. Centermen are more valuable to your team than wingers. So yeah. I don't think you're far off with asking for that.
I just don't like. He's a guy who's very unique because he's certainly a high end talent. He had 82 points 1 year, I believe, his rookie year, but like. He's a guy who's also been in and out of the doghouse with Barry Trotz because Trotz has been trying to teach him early on in his career both ends of the puck and both ends of the play. But what is his marketplace? Like, what is he as a player? Who are his comparables? That's the thing. I know Mitch Marner, but Marner got more points than him. And I don't know if you look at...
Significantly more.
Right, 94 points to 82. Like, you know, that's...
But Marner's done it 2 years in a row. Barzal fell off to like 65, I believe.
Right.
Okay, I would bet Marner's point totals would not be similar playing on the island as they are in Toronto.
No, correct. Of course not.
I think we have to, as we're talking about numbers, we've got to take into consideration the team style of play, what's okay to do. And you're right, like, you know, Barzal's been, you know, he got his toes stepped on a few times. Because he's not, you know, not playing in the style of game that Barry Trotz wants, which is the style that has been really effective for the Islanders. And the Leafs have had a relatively free hand offensively anyway. As any offensive player would say, you'd love to have the, you know, that open end at that end of the ice, and really kind of an open end through most of your side of the ice, too. The Islanders don't have that.
Right. Well, and it kind of ties in what we were joking about a few minutes ago, though, with intangibles and the energy guys. When you're talking about a player that has the ability to score much more, and I think we'd all agree Barzal could, right, if he was playing on a more of a free-flowing team with higher talent. There's talent down there, clearly. He's not playing with Austin Matthews or, you know, John Tavares or whatever. I know he was his rookie year, not necessarily sharing a line, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But his argument would be, sure, I had 65 points, but I played the style you wanted me to play. So I want to be paid like a 90-point guy because that's what I would get if I was somewhere else. But you don't want that. But Lou would come back and say, well, you got 65, so, you know, I got to pay you like 65. There's a gray area in there that I don't know how you kind of be the arbitrator and all that. How do you define it? How do you put value into playing to a system as opposed to cheating a little bit, boosting your numbers where that's what people look at and that's what generally gets paid?
Two guys I think of right away are Steve Yzerman and Mike Modano, who were big points guys and then were much more well-rounded players that gave up offense to play a different style of game.
That led to winning.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Islanders are playing as the best style they can play, but they're not winning with their team. Like, it's not quite good enough.
Well, you're right, and here's the thing. Like, you play to a style, you play for your organization and that, but I'm just coming back to flat-out comparables. Because you know, if you're just doing it on numbers, you're doing it even against your own teammates, guys like Anders Lee, who was an unrestricted free agent, obviously a different scenario. But where is a Matt Barzal, where does he fall financially? I keep thinking $9 million. I don't know why nine is I think that might be light.
based on a longer term deal, though, right? Like a 6 year, right. 7 year deal.
Oh yeah, we're talking.
Deal.
Yeah, we're talking term. Yeah. So let's do 6 to 8 years. It might be pushing up double digits, but he's not double digits for me necessarily. And you know, we look at the double digit players. I think he's close to that, but I don't know. Is he that? That's my question.
Yeah, I'm not sure he is either. And especially with a flat cap, which is not his fault, but it's a reality now. You know, the
right.
cap's not going to be moving.
Ryan, that's a great point. It's almost impossible. Jamie's, you know, trying to come up with a comparable in his head because there's lots of factors to it, but that the cap is now a factor that can't be ignored. Not that it was to be ignored before, but $81.5 million, you can run around the block and it's $81.5 million.
Yep.
And I think that makes that comparable, Jamie, you're trying to come up with really difficult to maybe match up.
Yeah.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So as for the actual season, we don't know when it's going to play out. There's been a stalemate here. I think January 1st has basically been thrown out the window. We could be wrong. Hopefully we are, but it doesn't seem likely. Seems more likely they're going to play towards the third week of January, maybe into early February, and it's going to be a 48-game season. But I was wondering about the junior camp and the World Juniors in general, if it gets to a point. Let's say it's going to start February 1st to pick a date. Do you think that could affect a guy like Lafreniere, who all of a sudden will not be in camp as of, you know, July 1st or earlier than that? Like, if he's not going to be in camp until after the juniors now, do you think that might adjust his opinion on whether or not he wants to play? And furthermore, could the Rangers have a different viewpoint?
They might, because he's, you know, you'd be able to get him in to play games, and obviously high-level games, and against guys that are his own age, and you got to battle, or you balance that out against the chance of him, you know, risking an injury. However, they've got to decide that by December the 5th, I believe, is the date. That they have to, for testing, et cetera, into the bubble, I believe the last IIHF date is that roster has to be declared, you know, as the guys that are possibilities anyway, which would mean the 5th, they have to know one way or the other. Man, it would be a hell of a gift for Canada.
What a boost.
The kid was phenomenal last year, and I mean, just watching the scrimmage this past week that didn't have Dylan Holloway in it, and Alex Newhook, who are college players that were quarantining, that this is going to be a good team. To get Lafreniere back, with, you know, I mean, that's a pretty solid get. You know,
well,
in other countries,
probably be the best player in the tournament, right?
Yeah, like, Ray, I wanted to ask you about the starting goalie out there. Like, do they have their guy already? How the heck do they decide who's the starting goalie from, like, inter squad games, practices? Do you think they have their guy right off the bat?
No, I don't think they do. Remember last year, one goalie started, another goalie took over, and you know, they came into the tournament with real inexperience in that position. This year it's the same thing. They're really inexperienced. Brochu has played very well. He's a 17-year-old, plays in London. Now, like, could he be your starting goalie, a 17-year-old? Man, that's almost an impossibility. It seems historically in the tournament. It's something to see that Canada's gone a long time with very few standalone number one guys. You know, very, very few. I mean, Carter Hart would have probably have been the last one.
Yeah, and he even had his troubles where he was kind of in and out, wasn't he?
Yeah, the first time, no, and it became like it was his net. And I mean, they certainly don't have that. They got five guys now, and, you know, they also have the disadvantage of not knowing who's had a good first half of the season, because there hasn't been a first half of the season.
Right.
Oh, that's crazy.
You've got your practices and your scrimmages, and then Jason LaBarbera, who's the goalie coach, and the staff, they've got to kind of go on that and what their gut feel might be, because the last time any of these guys were in competition for the most part was last summer, like in the under 18. And that was, you know, I mean, they were, it was like in the camps. I mean, it was back to March, right? So any of these guys have been in games. It's
right.
Got to be hard. It's one thing to pick a player and he can move up and down your lineup. I mean, you only got a couple of cracks at it with the goalie. And if you, if your first guy, if your number one guy doesn't have it, and you go to your second guy, well, oh boy, now you're really under the gun now. Mm-hmm. Like Nico Dawes took over last year and was the goalie of the tournament, but he didn't start out as, or Hoffer started or became the goalie of the tournament. Nico Dawes was the starter, and Hoffer took over and never gave up the net again. Like, no. I guess that could happen again. It's a bit of a crapshoot for sure.
Yeah, it's the ultimate gamble at this point, especially with that position. You can only have, you know, three of them, right? And two of them are going to be on the bench. And it just, it is a reality of 2020, but we are going to miss out on those unique stories of players who kind of came out of nowhere and put themselves on the map in terms of making the team and then working their way onto the team and then becoming, you know, key pieces. And we'll never know who that was going to be, because we're not going to experience it. But it happens every year. Some kid out of nowhere playing in Spokane is on pace for 1,000,000 points. You're like, oh, he's going to make the team.
But
he's
there
a
won't,
player you got to look for.
There won't be any Ray Ferraros either that had 50 goals at Christmas and they decided to look past them, you know, to somebody else.
Did they have any decency? Yeah, did they have any decency to call you and say the reason why you weren't selected?
Nope. The best part of this story, for me, was 100 years later, I'm playing in Atlanta, and George Kingston is one of the coaches. Yeah. George, just a really nice man. Well, he was one of the coaches of the junior team, and I'm like, hey, George, I'm still waiting around for a call. Like, I had 50 goals. And he's like, yeah, I don't think it's coming. They never called, nothing. I got a fistful of feathers.
Yeah,
that was it.
That hurts.
I would love to know who they chose in front of you for that spot.
An energy guy. Someone who works his ass off.
Great in the room and high energy.
Doesn't do anything but works hard.
Yeah, I looked at that team. There was a lot of good players, a lot of good junior players, but I'm like, what the hell? I had 50 goals, man. Like, had to be a spot somewhere.
13th forward. Give him a shift here or there against Kazakhstan or something.
Please tell me it was Bussy. What was that guy's name, the guy who got traded for the bus?
Tom Martin. No, he did not get picked. But I'm telling you, that James, you know, James, I don't know if you guys have noticed, James wrote a book. It might be on it. He's got it once in a while in his Twitter feed.
Yes.
Yeah.
He should have interviewed Tom Martin for that story. To be traded for a bus and all the stuff that went into it was just so remarkable. And to this day, you know, we're 56 years old. Talk to him. You're like, hey, Bussy, how's it going?
There he is, Bussy, forever. Yep, he is Bussy. That would be, I think it would be an honor to be traded for a bus over
time. He keeps telling us, anyone that asks, he's like, man, that was a good bus. It had sleepers and everything.
Right. Don't downplay the bus. That was a tough, you had to haggle for that deal. That was a tough get. Anyway.
Can you imagine getting that phone call? Yeah, you've been traded. And then, of course, you want to know who you've been traded for.
Right.
Oh, a 78 bus. A what?
A bus. Okay, what's his full name? No, bus. Like, it's actually
the
bus.
The
bus. Yeah, that would be outstanding. Anyway, we're off tomorrow, so we'll do it again Friday.
Yep, have a good one, boys. Enjoy the day off.
All right, there he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Yeah, we got the football games on tomorrow. I love it. We just get to hang out and watch football tomorrow.